Hello, everybody. Welcome to Seacoast Church. So glad that you are in the room today. Could we thank God for the power of gathering together as a church? One church, many locations, leveraged through the power of technology. We're able to reach people right now who are in a hospital room, who are traveling, who just don't feel the strength to get up and be in the room. And we know that whenever we gather together, our God is faithful to meet with us. We've got men and women who are in correctional facilities around the country. And we know that God has the power to free all of us from the wages of sin and self-centered living. If you're grateful for the presence of God, I'm gonna keep y'all clapping today. Can we thank God for his resurrection power in this place today? At all of our locations, we have the opportunity to do something called Next Steps. It's happening right now during this service and in the next service. If this is our way of you getting involved, if you've ever had questions about the church, go to Next Steps. If you've ever tried to figure out, hey, I want to serve, go to Next Steps. If I want to get involved in a small group, go to Next Steps. It's a great spot for you to get connected here. I'd love for you to do that. And also, coming up this week, this Wednesday, we have a bonus episode of the Seacoast podcast. I'm going to be on there with my wife. I have a whole wife, y'all. She's amazing. And if you like me, you love her. She's incredible. And we're going to be talking about digital detox as we wrap up this series. Has the series been helpful for you so far? Yeah. A little convicting? Have you felt a little guilty when you looked at your phone this past few weeks? I hope you've been challenged a little bit. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to John chapter 15. And today we're going to be talking about how do we learn to live free. We're going to be learning to live free together. The reality about technology is that it's beautiful. It's amazing. In fact, if you didn't get the physical copies of our notes, you can go online to our Seacoast app and get the notes. There's so many ways that technology has made our life infinitely better. But technology is an amazing servant, a horrible master. It's a great tool to be used, but if we use it as more than a tool, it will destroy our whole world. Because the reality of this is not a phone. This stopped being a phone in the Nokia days. Come on, somebody. This is a portal. This can take you to any kind of world you want to be in. And you know, if we don't understand how to leverage it as a tool, it will take us out of the present age that we're called to make an impact in. Have you ever been at a stoplight? And all of a sudden, bup, bup. Oh, I was in my portal. You weren't at the stoplight. You were miles and miles and miles away. Have you ever been at a party? You dressed up, you suited up, you got to the place, and then before you know it, you're... Has someone ever told you something, and then you went to fact check them, and then 5 minutes later, you are in a different world? If we don't understand how to make this a tool again, then it will rule us. I love the hammer I have at my house. I love it. It's a great tool. But if I just walk around life using the same tool for every problem, I end up demolishing a lot of things. The same is true about technology. Come on, somebody. Come on. Don't walk out of the room acting like you got an important phone call because we're watching you right now. Don't log off. God's watching. John chapter 15. Hey, in honor of the reading of God's holy word, could we change our posture for a minute? Could we stand? John chapter 15. Hear the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. We'll pause there for a quick second. What's he talking about? John chapter 14, Jesus tells his disciples that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is only one way by which we are saved, and that is the name of Jesus. I wish someone would clap because the name of Jesus saves in this place. And he tells them that in the name of Jesus, everyone is saved. And then he promises them this gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. This counselor, this advocate that will teach you to do everything I've commanded you. And so when we read the word and walk with the Holy Spirit, we're equipped with the power and presence of God. That's what he's talking about. Remain in me as I also remain in you. Will you say that word, remain? Remain. Remain connected to the vine. He's saying, church isn't, my walk with God isn't just like an hour, like every few weeks when I feel like it. Reading the Bible isn't like something I do when I feel like confused or despair. He's saying that like being connected to God is less 911 and more texting with your best friend. There's no end to the text thread with your best friend. There's no end to the conversation when you say, see you later after hanging out. You know the next morning, we still boys. And that's what he's trying to get to all of us. Say, remain. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must in the vine. Good job. Neither can you bear fruit unless you in me. I am the vine, Jesus is saying. You are the branches. That's all of us. If you in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. You are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. It will be done for you. You can keep living life on your own strength or allow God to do it for you. I have some friends, they were searching for a job. 6 months, this guy was searching on his own strength, trying to do everything he could. And then he started praying. God, I give this job search over to you. He got peace in the process. And then while he was on a flight that was after a delayed flight in a detoured city that he wasn't supposed to be in, it just so happened that he sat next to the senior vice president of the company that he was trying to get a job for. It will be done for you. God can do more for you than you can do on your own strength. I got a family. They've been trying to get a hold of their family member, and they've had so much friction, they haven't been able to talk in a year. They start praying over it, letting God have control over it. And after 7 days of praying and fasting, you know what God said? Hey, it'd be great for y'all to have dinner, but would you let me control when? 2 weeks later, they get a call from that family member. Hey, we were thinking, do you want to go out to dinner sometime? It will be done for you. I know y'all getting tired. We're almost done here. If I got to stand, you got to stand too, you know? It will be done for you. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Can we pray together? Father, we come into your presence and we say thank you. Thank you that you want to do so much for us and through us than we ever could do on our own strength. We pray that we can actually surrender to you so we can learn how to live free. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, high five your neighbor and tell them it'll be done for you. It'll be done for you. Hey, Joel, that's a great passage of scripture. What does it have anything to do with my cell phone and my portal in the digital world? The enemy wants you to remain connected to anything other than the presence and power of God, and he will use technology to be the primary thing you think you need in this earth to survive, thrive, move forward, see truth, and before you know it, you can't even hear the voice of God. If we do not manage technology as a tool, it will take over, and then it will become destructive, and then our addiction with something that's supposed to be a tool will become our master. But the relationship that oftentimes we have with technology, that we remain connected to technology at all times, that everywhere we go, we keep it with us, that we put in our GPS a destination to a place we already know how to get to, but the habit is all I'm on is there. Oh, I need to have music in the car. I need to have this. That addiction that's calling our name, even as I speak, the addiction that's, well, I gotta check it, right? I have to. It's keeping us in bondage. And so today I just wanna talk about four ways that we can live free. Here are the points this morning. FREE is an acronym. I tried to do some work for y'all so you can remember this stuff. FREE. First, restrict everything and engage. FREE. Christ came so that we could live a life that is free. Freedom comes when we're wholly submitted and connected to the vine of Christ. And then we walk into the world not needing all sorts of crazy things from it because we're getting it from our Father. So let's talk about it. First, when I go to God first, everything else flows. When I go to God first, everything else flows. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. When I go to God first, everything else flows. When God was trying to teach the Israelites how to be free, he sent them a message. He threw it on a tablet, he sent it down, and he gave them these 10 instructions, these commandments that were designed to help the Israelites learn how to live in freedom. Exodus chapter 20, and God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We are in a land of slavery. Slavery looks different right now, but we have so many things that can keep us in bondage. They hold us back. You shall have no other gods before me. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And our addiction with technology sooner than later becomes something we depend on more than God. Do you know that God can show up when you just get on your hands and knees and open up his word? Hey, I love Bible studies. I do. I love sermons. I listen to them. I love podcasts. I'm always listening to something, worship music, all that stuff. But you know what? Like, God don't need no help. You can open up the word of God and he can speak to you. But if we do not fight the battle with our addiction, we will stay in bondage and he will never be first. There is greatness that God has placed inside of you, but until we conquer our addictions through his power and through a different process of how we live our life, then we will always be held back. I've got a picture of Navy SEAL Adam Brown. I got to read his book, a book written on his life called Fearless. Awesome book. You need to check it out. He passed away in 2010 in defense for our nation, earning a Silver Star, bronze medals, and amazing guy. Just so many things amazing about his life. Epic. I love reading stories of our soldiers because it's like reading a story of a real life superhero. Come on, somebody. He was in a vehicle accident in Afghanistan. Yeah, get this one. Yeah, come on, let's clap for our service members. He was in a vehicle accident in Afghanistan, rolled over his right hand, crushing his shooting hand. And while that healed, he just learned how to shoot left-handed and became better at shooting left-handed than he was at his right. In a training accident, he got shot with a paintball in his right eye. I know some kid is not getting a paintball gun this year. But like... shot his right eye and his eye died, and he learned how to operate on one eye better than when he had two. Legend, amazing guy. But the first half of the book talked about the biggest battle he ever had to fight, which was his addiction to drugs. Grew up straight-laced kid. He was the kid that everyone depended on, relied on, was filled with integrity, great football player, life of the party. He gets a scholarship to play at a small community college and football in college. And then he gets there and his freshman year gets an injury, ends his career. And that's when he starts with a small addiction to pain pills. Gets with the wrong crowd. Someone gets him high for the first time on cocaine and it changed his world. And he went from the kid that everyone relied on to 4 years later being the neighborhood addict that everyone wanted nothing to do with. His parents at one point had him arrested because they're like, we don't know what else to do. In his pit, he found Jesus. In his pit, God brought him sobriety, and he ends up joining the Navy through a miracle. His middle school football coach was a guy who gave him all these waivers to get in the Navy, an amazing story. And he goes through all this training, but he would call his wife every once in a while and say, hey, baby, I can still hear it calling my name. He could still hear the drug calling his name. And you know what? Do you ever hear when this thing calls your name? Because it's not a phone, it's a portal. Hey, you can seek me first. I got the answer here. Certainty's right there. I can ask it anything and it'll respond right away. And when we live life with this addiction and we don't figure out how to submit it to being a tool, man, we can't even hear the voice of God. First. Second one is this, restrict. Not everything available to me is for me. Not everything available to me is for me. You ever take your kid into a gas station and they see the candy aisle and they're like, it's all here. Can I get it all? Have you ever tried? I want to try to give my son ice cream until he's done, but he'll never be done because all of it's for him. And then you get to a certain age and you realize, hey, I can't eat everything. Just because it's available to me doesn't mean it's for me. Okay, cautionary tale, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Don't squirm. Get a little weird here. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. What's that selfie all about, huh? You ever see a picture of 20 people, you in the picture, who you look for first? You? I mean, not me. You do, not me. Lovers of money. How can money be a tool if it's your God? How can you use it to be generous to the world around you if it has a stranglehold on your heart? Money is not bad, but the love of it will steal everything from you. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Ooh, we're gonna sit in this one for a second. honor thy father and mother. Honor is giving weight and respect, not because of who they are, but because of the position God placed them in their life. I'm not talking to the kids. I'm talking to the adults in the room. Because your kids and your grandkids will treat you the same way you treated your parents. Sorry. Y'all aren't going to talk to me in the lobby. I may get punched in the face. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. Unforgiving? Wait, what? If I find a tweet that you tweeted in 2012, I can cancel you for eternity. That's the culture we live in, right? This is the world we live in, right? Why? Because the world has no understanding of grace. It's only found in Jesus. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Ooh, God, you can have this square. I'm a spiritual person, not religious, which means I take what makes me feel good, but not what makes me wholly submitted to his power. You know what's amazing? When we grow in being wholly submitted to his power, it will be done for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Restrict. Restrict. Not everything that's available to you is for you. Just because it shows up on your algorithm doesn't mean you need to accept it. Just because it is a news article doesn't mean you need to click on every single one of them. The power of technology is when we understand its place. And it shouldn't have our place on forming how we see the world. That should be coming from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That should be coming by the leadings of the Holy Spirit. This is where you clap. This should be coming by his holy word. This should be coming by other believers challenging you. Hey, man, you can live better than that. But if we don't put ourselves in community, how can someone speak into it? I'm trying to learn how to pause more because sometimes I be dropping dimes and y'all don't say nothing. So you know what I'm saying? Every year we do this thing, sign up for a small group, sign up for a small group, sign up for a small group, sign up for a small group. And people weave by the small group tables, you know, Heisman in them, you know, and they say, I don't have friends. I don't have community. Or you go five times and it doesn't fit what you want and you leave. Everything, third point, everything. The world is a much brighter place when I focus on the good. Is that positive thinking, Joel? No, that's the holy word of God. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Ask your friends, what do I sound like? Am I the friend that lifts you up? Or I'm the friend that's just spewing frustration, anger. I'm not talking about being in a hard season. I'm talking about what is the tone of your life? What's the tone of your life? And when we leverage technology now to focus on that, then our world grows. When we use technology as a tool to help us focus on all the things that are for our good, woo-hoo, now we cooking. Now we cooking. Engage. Engage. We are called to serve, not be served. And this is probably the problem of living in a digital world. The biggest one, in my opinion, at least for me, is it can become so easy to think my job is to view the world and judge it versus finding a meaningful way that God is calling me to engage with it. Because we have a global perspective on everything that's happening. Israel and Palestine, Ukraine, what's going on in Africa, what's going on that side of the country, what's happening in Chicago, all that stuff. And it's good to be informed. But when we don't understand that there's got to be a line of demarcation from knowledge to action, and that God has called us to move our feet to help and serve the world around us, then we're building our life on sinking sand. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He didn't ask someone else to do it. He didn't call a friend. He put him on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." And we can't change the whole world, but we can change some of it. If we remain connected to the vine, you know what happens? God will start to direct you to do things, to serve people in ways that you never thought would ever happen because you are under direction of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to share this story. God told me to. It's awkward for me, but I'm going to tell you. 2020, crazy year. Political unrest, COVID. You want to start a fist fight? Do you like vaccines or not? 20 minutes later. And then, like, racial unrest by the killing of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery. And what was crazy was people got to the city square, the community board, AKA Facebook, and you just started to see, like, a clash of the algorithms. People who lived in their own little world, people who lived in their own world, they post their thing waiting to get accepted, and everyone's fighting. Y'all's Facebook was like that? And I remember when Ahmaud Arbery got killed, it hit me. And it hit me for one simple reason. The polo that they showed, like, his picture in, I had the same polo in my closet. And he was a black man, I'm a black man. And it just hit me. I couldn't, like, shake it. And I remember being hot about it. And I had all sorts of thoughts. And my dad just moved into my house. My dad, he said, "Hey, what are you going to do about it?" And I was so hot. I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Hey, you want to drive down and meet with this family and see if we can pray with them?" And I was like, "Drive down? I don't know them." He's like, "But you're a pastor. You can totally go there and we just go and see. We'll just take a few days off work. We'll go." And I remember he was trying to get me to engage to something, but I realized that, like, my relationship with this is this. I have an opinion, I have a thought on all this stuff, and I'm responsible for doing nothing with it. And he was calling me to engage, and it was such a failure because I didn't do anything. And that's the scary part about the world we're living in right now. It's become so easy to become permanent observers versus saying, "God, what are you calling me to do? And can I just take a step to do something?" What's the step you need to take to engage in this world around you? But it's so overwhelming, it sounds like you need someone to direct you to know what to do. And that's why we gotta stay connected to the vine. Because in a world where we're getting exponentially more information than we ever had the capacity to do something with, as a church, as Christians, we're losing our ability to activate our feet. We're losing our ability. That's why we need to stay connected to the vine. But when we choose to put God first, things start flowing. And he'll say, "Hey, don't listen to that. Hey, don't listen. No, Joel, Glorilla is not for you. It's not good, not helpful." Ask your kids. I'll just start to see that God says no, 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 no. But then he'll start saying, "Hey, why don't you watch this? Why don't you read this? why don't you study this? And then my world gets bigger. And then he starts to direct my steps in engaging in the way that he's called me to engage. And the same is true for you. God wants to do a lot of things through you. It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. It's to my Father's glory that he opens up opportunities and windows. But if we still live under the narcissistic view of our current culture that says it's all about me, we can't make the impact God's called us to make. So that's what God's teaching me about the digital world I'm living in. And I pray that today we can all live free. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. How crazy is it that God already unlocked the keys from our sin and we can walk in freedom, but we end up choosing bondage because of a tool? Can we take a moment to pray together? I need prayer. I need your prayer. And I think we all should just pray together that God would help us to learn how to live free. Father, we pray. In the name of Jesus, would you teach us how to live free? Can you help us to hear your Holy Spirit above everything else? We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.